A fictional homicide detective named Tracy Crosswhite learns that the remains of her younger sister have been found after that sister's been missing for 20 years. That discovery sets in motion Seattle writer Robert Dugoni's new mystery, My Sister's Grave. Dugoni told my colleague Ross Reynolds Tracy Crosswhite was inspired by real people, Seattle homicide detective Jennifer Southworth and former King County Sheriff Sue Rahr.
The first decision I made when I decided I was going to write from the perspective of a woman was I was not going to write from the perspective of a woman. I was going to write from the perspective of a person who has suffered a grievous loss. What Jennifer and Sue were able to do was to provide me with not only sort of the day-to-day, I went and hung out with Jennifer a little bit, but also to provide me with some of the background. And they were both very open about it. You know, Sue in particular was very open because she said when she came up through the ranks, you know, she was very much the lone woman on the force or the lone woman in the squad or the lone woman, you know, out on patrol. And she told me one really kind of funny story that, you know, you probably wouldn't hear in today's day and age, but, you know, she has children. And when she got pregnant, she started to get larger. And she actually had a sergeant that had a huge belly say to her, "How are you going to put your gun belt on?" To which Sue replied, "The same way you do." You know, so she's really a character and she's a neat lady. And she was gracious enough to sit down and talk to me about what it was like to be a woman going through the police academy and the police force. I wrote a prequel to this book that's a Kindle download called The Academy. And a lot of the things that happen to Tracy, you know, when she goes through the process of becoming a cop and then while she's at the academy, either happened to Jennifer or happened to women that Jennifer knew. For me, it's always easier to write about things that are real. I could never write science fiction. You know, I can't write aliens, and you know, I just don't have that kind of mind. But when I can visualize something and see it on a real level, I can write about it. And they were just great about it.
And you also credit a forensic scientist, an anthropologist, doctors who worked with psychopaths as some of the research that you did on this. But how do you decide when you're going to use your research and when you're just going to have to chuck it because it gets in the way of the story?
Well, yeah, no, and that's a great question because that's the most difficult part. There's a lot of readers out there that like that kind of stuff. They really like to dig into the nitty-gritty. But most readers out there, they just want to get – they want the story. They want the story to move forward. And so how much do you put in and not put in? It comes down to really being a feel thing. I mean, I got so much great stuff from the forensic anthropologist, Kathy Taylor. I mean, she was just great. And she was patient with me, and she'd explain it to me. And probably 10% of the stuff that she provided me actually got into the book. I work with a guy back in Boston, a good friend of mine, who's a terrific writer and a great editor. And I always ask him to read the first pass. And he invariably will write all over my manuscript, "You're showing off.
What you know."
Yeah, cut this.
You're opening up your notebook, your research notebook, rather than telling the
story. For instance, you know, telling readers how the automated fingerprint identification system works. He said, "We don't care. We know that it generates a fingerprint, and that's what they use. Just move on." So it's hard. That's one of the hardest things, I think, for writers, especially if you want to get it right, because you do have that segment of the readership out there who will watch that very, very closely. And anytime you make even the slightest mistake, boy, they'll let you know. And there were two things that really sat with me when I did my research for this book. The first was when I was talking to Jennifer and another homicide detective, King County Sheriff, homicide detective Scott Tompkins. They said to me, they do a lot of work with victims of violent crime. And they said, the thing that is tough for us is a lot of times we can find justice for the families, but we can't find closure. And those are two different things. And those are difficult things for them to have to deal with. And it's difficult things for families to have to deal with. And so I really tried to focus on that when I was writing this book, that feeling of, you know, even though they Tracy is seeking justice, the real question here is whether she's ever going to find closure. Hmm. And a lot of the readers really picked up on that. I got emails from people and a lot of reviews, you know, from people saying things like, "Is she going to be okay? You know, is she going to move on? And that's really the hard thing.
And also a perfect setup for the next one of these Tracy Crosswhite books.
Right.
I'm talking with Robert Dugoni about his new novel called My Sister's Grave. You know, we're talking about story. And one of the things that fascinates me about mysteries and this type of book is the mechanics of it, because you have to perform a delicate balance. You need to kind of pull the reader along in the plot, but you don't want to be revealing too much so they jump ahead of you. How do you kind of sort out what to tell and what to leave out to leave that suspense lingering through a novel? Do you have some techniques for that?
A couple of things. The first thing is you want your first sentence of every chapter to really raise a question, to get the reader to go, wait a minute, and to continue reading. Conversely, you want the last sentence of every chapter to do the same thing, to leave some type of a question, to get the reader to turn the page. Because what you really want is you want the reader to continue turning the page, looking for the answer to the next question. You know, why this, why that, and to keep going forward. The other thing that was difficult about this book, but that I tried to do, was there's flashbacks in this book. The purpose of a flashback is the same as the purpose for a scene in real time, which is to move the story forward. So the flashback needs to reveal a piece of information that the reader needs at that time. And you give the reader that piece of information at that time so that they can then keep going forward. What you don't want to do is you don't want to give the reader information that is ahead of the character. So basically what I try to do is keep the character one step ahead of the reader. So hopefully when you get to the end of the book, what you have is an ending that is completely inevitable yet not expected.
See, when you say that, I have in my mind a literal or a figurative board with post-it notes with elements of the plot that you might pick up and go, no, that's too soon or that's too late.
I know writers that do that.
Yeah.
And I have tried to do that, and my mind just doesn't work that way. So the way that I do it is my first draft literally is almost like my outline. I just go. I mean, I just write. And for instance, this book, I think the manuscript was about 515 pages when I got done with the first draft.
515?
Yeah. And so what I know now from my experience is that I overwrite.
Yeah.
And so I know I'm going to go back, and I know I'm going to start peeling things out. So, you know, the way I start with is I understand story structure, and I understand that there are going to be moments in the book that are important. You know, the what they call the call to adventure, when the protagonist commits to the journey. And then after that, you know, the climax is obviously a big one, and then the resolution is a big one. And so you try to build toward that. But along the way, you take baby steps. When I teach writing, I often use The Wizard of Oz. Because The Wizard of Oz is a great technique for showing writers the little obstacles that Dorothy has to get over to get to Oz. It's not always the monkeys. It's not always the witch. Sometimes it's just, what do I do when I come to a fork in the road? Right? That's an obstacle. And so
some people go this way and some people go that way.
Exactly. I love that movie. It's one of my favorites. And so that's what I try to do with the book. We all have obstacles every day in our lives. You know, where am I going to park today? I got to get downtown at this hour of the day. Is there going to be traffic? Those are all obstacles that get in the way of our paths on what we need to do. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to take the everyday obstacles out of the characters, because I think that's what makes characters real, is when readers can read it and go, oh my, you know, I had that same thing happen to me.
As I mentioned earlier on, you've had a career as a lawyer. You've had done a lot of work as a reporter, and now you're a novelist. What does being a novelist give you that these other careers did not?
Since I was 12 years old, I loved story. I was blessed with a mother that, rather than punish us for saying things to her like, Mom, I'm bored. You know, I have 9 brothers and sisters, Ross. She was not going to tolerate me being bored. Rather than punishing us, she'd say, read a book. And she had been an English teacher. And so by the time I was 13 years old, I was really blessed. I had read Of Mice and Men, The Count of Monte Cristo, Red Badge of Courage. I mean, you name it. I fell in love with writing. I fell in love with characters. I fell in love with reading. I fell in love with stories. And I just have always loved to read. And so my passion was always that I would someday be able to write stories.
9 kids.
9, yeah.
Was telling stories part of the way to stand out in a crowd like that?
No, my brothers and sisters are all doctors. So it was almost the opposite. But you're right in terms of the fact that, you know, it was tough sometimes to get a word in edgewise. And, you know, when your brothers and sisters are so successful ahead of you, I think there probably was a little reticence on my part to go into medicine, for instance. And now that I have my own kids, I kind of see it the same thing. You know, one of them's really, really a terrific little writer. I mean, she writes with great emotion. Her brother, he's a math science guy. I mean, he see a math problem, and boy, he can do it. And so I think it's a little bit in our DNA.
Robert Dugoni, his new book is My Sister's Grave. He spoke with Ross Reynolds.